This is Nicholas Okoye. I am the CEO of the Annabelle Leadership Academy, the convener of the Nigeria Leadership Summit, and the president of the Annabelle Group of Companies. The returns on investment in Nigeria are much more than 14 to 15% because the banks alone charge about 20 to 25% interest rate on the loans that they're giving to SMEs. So if you're paying a 20 to 25% interest on a loan, then your return has to be far in excess of whatever you pay in interest. The Nigerian economy is very much in its infant stages. You know, it's a brilliant analogy for the US economy maybe 100 years ago. If you look at the population of Nigeria, we're about 160, 170 million people. The United States is about 300, 350, you know, thereabout in terms of population. But if you recall, the United States population is actually what gave it the bedrock for it to grow to become the world's number one economy in a short period of time. If you go through the 19th century, the US was not quite there. And the fact that they were able to grow such a huge population, a lot of it was fueled by the migration of Europeans who migrated to the United States as the new world and the new opportunities that were provided for that particular nation. The important thing is that the economy was dependent largely on a productive population. The population was productive, they were able to grow, you know, in leaps and bounds, and they were able to build homegrown initiatives, homegrown entrepreneurs were able to grow and dominate those economies and expand opportunities to a wide range of the American people. Now, the Nigerian country and the Nigerian nation is in a similar position. We have a large population. Unfortunately, we are not expanding the opportunities to a great number of our people. So we are holding ourselves back from the opportunities that this large population should be able to provide for our people. We have large consumers, but those consumers are unproductive. We're consuming a lot of imported products. We're consuming a lot of products coming from international community. We're not producing. If you look at the landscape of business, business is divided into three sections. Anybody in the oil and gas industry will tell you, oh, I'm involved in upstream, which means you're drilling the crude oil out of the ground, or you're involved in midstream being you're servicing the companies that are drilling the crude oil, or you can be involved in downstream, which means you are selling the finished product, which is the refined product. It's kind of a retail side. So every business has that landscape, if you will, that map, the upstream, the midstream,
and the downstream.
And the upstream is normally referred to as the infrastructure of that particular industry, you know, whereas the midstream will be referred to as the wholesale area of that industry. And then the downstream is normally the retail area. So a lot of people tend to choose where to play, where to position their market, where to position their business based on these three wide concepts, if you will. And everybody thinks they got it right, or everybody thinks they're the best, or maybe it's just based on your passion and that's why they chose that particular area. So if you're looking at the housing industry, for instance, the folks who are actually buying the land from the state government and developing the land and selling plots, building the sites and services, the roads into the land, the carving out the plots and so on and so forth, are referred to those who are involved in the infrastructure of that industry. So that would be an upstream business for the housing industry. Whereas the midstream would be the actual developers, the folks who are developing the properties, people who are supplying the inputs and so on and so forth. And then the downstream would be the actual people selling the houses or selling the flats, people involved in real estate, so on and so forth. They will all be involved in the downstream. What we are lacking in Nigeria. The saddest part of the Nigerian example or the Nigerian story is the fact that we haven't yet gotten on the same page with our government officials. Okay, so there are Nigerian entrepreneurs. Nigerian entrepreneurs are extremely resilient. We have people that are resilient. We have people that are passionate about certain aspects of their industry or their skill or their knowledge or their expertise. What is lacking is for us to have government officials who understand the role of the private sector. What is the role of government in pushing and promoting a viable private sector? I give you a typical example. If I had 200-300 million naira, I want to invest in a housing scheme, or I want to invest in a commercial real estate property in a particular state, let's say Lagos State or Ogun State or Ondo State or Edo State, as the case may be. What is the government's policy to provide me with the land that is required for me to put that investment on ground? If you go there, you will get frustrated because they're going to put you through all kinds of rings and hoops and challenges and barriers, not understanding the role of government. Their role as government is to collect fees and levies on my development. So it is in their interest that I put that land to work. That it's in their interest that I build a shopping mall or I build a housing estate where people can come and buy houses and pay ground rent to the government. They shouldn't be looking to sell me that land. They should actually have a policy where that land is given to developers for free so that developers can come in and produce and put that land to work. What they're looking at is the fees and the development and the productivity that comes from your activity on that land. They're not looking to sell the land and pick up money. That mindset has got to go. And that is the problem with a lot of our state governments. They don't seem to get it. The entrepreneurs are there. We have the risk takers. We have young boys and girls willing to take risk. We have people who have left good jobs in the United States, in Europe, and what have you. They've come back to Nigeria. They're setting up businesses. They are excited about the opportunities in Nigeria. What is lacking is our government, our people in the public sector, our leaders in government. They don't get it. They don't understand what their role is. They need to promote the private sector, because if they promote the private sector, that is where the jobs are created. That is where the activity needs to happen. That is where productivity needs to happen. It gives them less headache. There is less pressure on the government to create jobs if the government is supporting the private sector to do exactly that. I think we as a nation need to understand this. There's too much talk and there's too much holding on to the negatives, holding on to our problems, holding on to our challenges. Let's look at the positives. Let's look at the opportunities, and let's share those opportunities with the Nigerian people and let those people stand up and get counted. The few people are doing it even without our help, even without our motivation. We just want to be a catalyst to motivate more people, to get more people, so that this nation can truly, truly reach its potential. The thing about economics and the thing about opportunity, I talked about a brick and mortar, the approach of the Dangote Group. Now, brick and mortar, meaning that if you look at the old economies, in order for a country to grow, you have to put bricks and blocks and mortar, being cement or concrete, and you build it physically. After you have built a physical nation, then other sophisticated and complex services, goods and services, start to evolve. Now, brick and mortar, Nigeria is still developing. So a lot of the goods and services that will continue to do well in a country like Nigeria are these brick and mortar services. So you talked about the basic needs of man, And I said, the Dangote Group has effectively positioned itself among those basic needs. So what are they? They're the food. You have Dangote doing spaghetti, you have them doing rice, you have them doing pasta and so on. And then even sugar and salt. I believe that they're one of the largest manufacturers of salt in Nigeria. And they do sugar as well. Then you talk about shelter. They didn't go into the midstream. They went straight to the upstream aspect and some part of midstream, because they're producing cement. So a lot of the cement that is used to develop our infrastructure is supplied by the Dangote Group. And then they didn't go into healthcare, but healthcare is also a basic need. And transportation, they went heavily into transportation. So you have a fleet of trucks owned by the Dangote Group. You also have port terminals, which they have acquired from the federal government in the last privatization and concessioning program. So they're into port facilities and port management. So they're definitely into transportation. And then, of course, they're not into clothing. But then I believe that the clothing industry or the textile industry is a bit fragmented. But those are the basic needs. The only thing I didn't mention there is education. I don't think the Dangote Group is involved in education, but the Dangote Foundation supports education, across the board. We need to look at the basic needs if you want to play it safe. So if you want to play it safe, you say, okay, what are the basic needs of man and how can I service those needs? We are always going to need healthcare. We are definitely going to need education, because our society in this world is such a complex society that you need 20 years of education just to figure out how to live in our society. And so that education has become a basic need. If you don't get it educated, you can't function in a modern society. So that is playing it safe. If you play it safe, go after the basic needs, transportation, education, healthcare, and so on, you will definitely get customers. But if you want to take it up a notch, you want to take it to the next level, there are many other areas that are providing sophisticated opportunities for a premium, which means you're not going to be struggling with the price peculiarities of the basic needs. The challenges the people at the basic needs have is that they're going to continue to deal with price fluctuation. Okay, so there's a price war, because a lot of folks are offering goods and services under those basic needs, because everybody is rushing to offer basic needs, because everybody knows that you can't go wrong if you offer basic needs. So there's a price challenge there, because those industries and those businesses have been commoditized. Investor is looking for a return. So you have to define for your investor how he or she is going to get a return on his or her investment. And that is what, in a nutshell, a business plan is trying to achieve. So whether you have a 100-page business plan or a 10-page business plan, the bottom line is there is a risk versus a return. I think the economists should look at the list of basic needs again, because the world has evolved. Some things that were not basic are now basic. One area that I think should be included in the list of basic needs of man is entertainment. I believe entertainment should be included. Why? Because all the studies have shown when you incarcerate a man or a woman, remove them from the world, you're still giving them their shelter, you're still giving them their food, you're still taking care of their health. But what do they take away from you when you're incarcerated, when you're in jail? It is ability to get entertainment. That is what is missing. If you take that away, in most cases people can run mad. If you take, and then what makes worse is not just when you put somebody in prison, but when you put them in seclusion, which means if you take them from the prison community and isolate them, quarantine them on their own, then you are looking to drive a man crazy. For the Nigerian entertainment industry, you can clearly see an explosion is waiting to happen. A lot of people think it has happened already. I don't think so. People think, okay, there is advent of the P-Square. P-Square now talks about owning a private jet, and you have the, you know, the band and so on. They're doing so well. I think it's just getting started. I think the real entrepreneurs, the real mega billionaires that are going to come out of the entertainment industry are just beginning to emerge. You are going to see an explosion in that industry over the next 5 years that is going to completely dwarf what has happened in the last 10 years. There is so much that is lacking in the entertainment industry right now that has not allowed the producers, the innovators, the inventors to get access to the wealth that they're creating. The piracy in the industry is taking out 90% of the value. Piracy is taking out 90% of the value. And why is piracy taking out 90% of the value? Because there are no distribution chains. There are no links. The way we can counter that is if we start providing our material, our music, our videos direct to consumers using established platforms. Now, what is lacking in that sense is that we don't yet have good payment systems that Nigerians can go online with a credit card and buy a downloadable CD or a downloadable MP3. That is about to change. And once that happens, you will have artists being able to sell hundreds of millions of naira worth of music in a week when customers from all over the country can go to a website, use their credit card, and buy a downloadable CD or a downloadable MP3 player, cutting out the pirate completely from the value chain. That's gonna happen. It's just getting started. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we're just scratching the surface of the entertainment industry. We haven't even started. So whereas we do have great talent, and I mentioned them, you know, the P-Squares of the world, the Banjis of the world, Banky W, Don Jazzy, these gentlemen and women and ladies are very talented. However, the real talent is about to emerge. And when that real talent emerges, or rather, you know, super talent emerges, you marry it with distribution systems. And I believe online distribution system, which can cut out the middleman, or rather cut out the pirates, then you will see true wealth will be created. The same thing for the movie industry. What is holding Nollywood back? What holds Nollywood back is because there are no exhibition spaces. There are no places where you can actually go and pay good money to watch a good Nollywood movie. And so Nollywood has been forced to go straight to video. You know, so they produce movies that go straight to video, and there is a limit to how much you can make from that kind of experience. Now, what has happened over the last 10 years is that movie theaters have started to spring up. So there are now opportunities to exhibit movies in a theater. When you want to exhibit a movie in a theater, how much do you pay? 500 naira per ticket, 1,000 naira per ticket. You've cut the middleman out completely. You've cut out the pirate, because you're paying to watch a movie more than you would actually pay on DVD. You can see that that value is going to be shared between the producer and the movie theater owner. So the producer would invariably end up with at least 200 to 300 naira from that experience. What does that tell you? That tells you that a lot of money is going to end up in the pockets of these producers over the next few years. The more these theaters and these screens spring up, the more money will be available to producers. So you're going to have quality movies coming out, more exciting, more sophisticated, more well-trained people are going to be attracted to that industry. Already it is happening. We're seeing a lot of Nigerians trained internationally beginning to move into that industry with good, sophisticated skills, because the money that is coming out from that industry is beginning to expand. How many movies have been done on the Second World War?
A lot.
Hundreds of thousands of movies. Endless. You cannot tell the Biafran War in one movie. There are too many stories that can come out of that 3-year experience. There are stories about the Irish priests who came into Biafra and were looking after the children that were suffering from malnutrition. There are stories about the group of young men, British guys in their 20s, who hired planes and started raising money all over Europe and started flying relief materials into Biafra. They have a different story to tell. You have stories on people who escaped from Biafra, you know, escaped the fighting. How did they escape? There were escape routes through Varanda Po, through Sao Tome. How did all that happen? And then there's stories of the actual fighting. Stories of commanders like Obasanjo with the 3rd Marine Commando or Achuze, who was called Hannibal, you know. And so, you know, if you go into the story, you can find that hundreds of movies can be done about that era. There's the tourism industry. Look at what is happening in tourism. We have missed the point in the tourism industry, and this would be a clear message to the folks at the Ministry of Culture and Tourism. A lot of the time you see that the tourism strategy or the tourism policy for Nigeria has been developed in an effort to attract international tourism, and we keep talking about how we're going to attract international tourism. Let's get our embassies. We have over 100 embassies. We have too many, all in an effort to get our story out there. But in my opinion, we're missing the point. The ministry is missing the point. We need to develop local tourism. We need to get the local Nigerian people to be visiting our own locations in Nigeria. That is where the money is. All you need to do is to visit a Lagos beach on a weekend and see the thousands of people that approach these beaches all across the, you know, I think they're over 10 beaches in Lagos. They're all full on weekends. There is no theme park at any of these beaches. So all people do is that they go there and they sit down in nightclubs or some clubs and bars and they drink. There's no theme parks. There's no playgrounds. There's no investment to boost this tourism. So we need to look at these kind of areas. How can we boost the tourism potential of our own people? The information and communications technology, that is an area that is also on the verge of exploding. Because they don't know. Nobody is promoting them. They actually would love to travel. Nigerians are traveling people. Nigerians love to travel. The problem is that we're not promoting local tourism. So what is happening is that there has been a mind shift, okay? This is happening. We used to go home for Easter and Christmas. We used to go to the village. Okay, the village is not safe anymore. People have stopped going to the village. Okay, so what happens? People who can afford it get on the plane and they go to London or Dubai or what have you. They don't need to do that. If the government of the Cross River State, for instance, could follow in the footsteps of the last governor, Governor Duke, did a lot for tourism. He could just take it from there and promote Calabar as a destination for Nigerian tourists, not for international tourists. We would go there and spend our Easter, our Christmas. Oh, they're doing very well with the Calabar Carnival. So people do go there every December. But they can do better. What do they need to do? They need investment in more facilities, more hotels. Okay, they're just two more resorts. There are two or three that are really good. They need to do more. Okay, or they need to partner with the private sector to do more. The private sector would build the hotels. The government would promote the tourism. That's how we partner with government. So Calabar could do exceedingly well as a tourist destination for local people. I've been to the Obudu Cattle Ranch, which is another aspect of Cross River State. Beautiful place. If you get there, you think you're in a different country.
World.
It's incredible. I mean, you think you're in Europe, you know, because the weather is temperate, the environment is surreal. It's a lovely resort, you know, but it's not being promoted properly. I don't know why that place is not the hotbed for every Valentine's Day. What the government needs to do is to promote it and then to make access easier. Because right now, if I wanted to go there, I don't even know how to get there. So that's a problem. For the tourism, I talked about, you know, there are opportunities in hotels, restaurants, nightclubs, and so on. And then we need to promote local tourism. For the information and communications technology, one area that is about to come out is digital broadcasting for television. And then in the power industry, power is getting privatized, so there are going to be opportunities for young people in different areas. The Regulatory Commission allows embedded power, so you can actually provide a power for a small enclave, a small community, a small estate. So those opportunities are available. And then, of course, housing. We have 170 million people. We have housing needs of over 10 to 20 million houses are needed in Nigeria, which we have not met those needs. So there's a huge opportunity in that area. So I think that what we need to do is to work together. We need to find ways to work together. Let's see how we can all work together as a group to meet our potentials, to meet our interests, and to meet our destiny. And together we can rebuild our nation. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.